Well, boys, it's another big week in rugby league. But before we start, this crazy weather we've had, I want to give out some shout-outs, especially to my home community up there in Armidale. You know, they went through a bit of snow on the weekend. I think they got around 30 centimetres, which is one of the biggest snowfalls that we've seen up there for a long time. I kind of remember that when I was a little kid. So a shout-out to everyone up there in Armidale. Lost electricity, the rugby league got cancelled, and some people in the community are struggling a little bit, so I wanted to give a shout-out to them. Also a shout-out to Gemma King. Now, she's a proud Darug woman out there in Penrith, and she used to play for the Tasha Gales team at the Panthers, but she's gone out west to a few communities from Hawkesbury out to Will Maringal Public School and dropping off different jerseys and gear for the kids out there and doing rugby league clinics. That's a great little initiative from a young person out there in Western Sydney.
Yeah, it's great, you know, like to have a young person, you know, is passionate about community, loves giving back to the community. We always talk about our athletes, you know, our elite athletes that are out doing stuff. Like Latrell does a lot of, you know, great stuff, but Gemma, you know, it's really good seeing her doing some really good stuff there.
Yeah, well done to Gemma, and thanks to Kristen Allen also for sending in all that information. We really appreciate that. And encourage everyone out there, make sure you send your shout-outs of all the important, fantastic work that a lot of you are doing in the community. Now, a bit of sad stuff for you boys. Also, I want to give a shout-out and send love and respect to the family of Sam Bacco. Sammy was a legend of Indigenous Rugby League, an Australian player, a test player, played Origin, and was a player that I grew up looking up to. And unfortunately, we lost Sammy this week, so sending out our condolences there. And another one as well, I wanted to the inner city communities, but especially the La Perouse community, who have been going through a hard time at the moment, losing some young people there. We send our love and condolences to those communities, and our prayers and thoughts are with you all there. Now, moving on to round 22 of the NRL, and what a week it was. The results, they were all over the place. We said we'd get some teams in there that were going to take some victims down with them, have a scalp before the end of the season. We saw that. The Storm there, obviously, the close game against Parra, they got home against that one. But then the Dolphins, they got over the Warriors there in a big loss. The Raiders and the Bulldogs are two of the teams that I want to talk about, though. They both went down on the weekend. Starting to get a little bit shaky there, the two top teams.
Yeah, you talked about it, Dino, in the last couple of weeks. Like, there's going to be some bottom teams that are going to be taking some scalps of the top teams. But this weekend was about winning ugly. I think it was a mentality thing. We know that all the teams are physical, but when it comes to the weather, you know, when it's raining here down in New South Wales, it's slippery, it's heavy, you know, to have that mental mentality, that helps you, you know, on what you're going to be going into when it comes to the finals. For the rest of the teams, it's something they need to highlight. If they can't play under tough conditions, as you mentioned, Bo, it's a hard thing, eh?
Yeah, for sure. And Dino, you'd mentioned the last couple of weeks, the Raiders, right? Yeah. They were sitting in a position where they were going along really good, only lost three games all year. And now they're sort of starting to hit a period where they're coming up against, quality opposition, especially more at the back end of the year. And a lot of these players probably aren't used to that consistency and that winning. The last few games, they've been tight half time, but been finding a way in the second half. They just couldn't do it on the weekend against the Dragons. And again, every team, every week, just start to ask questions and you just start to lose that little bit of faith. And I'm starting to see it now around the Canberra Raiders.
Well, you see those two top teams getting a little bit shaky in their performance. I thought the Warriors' loss was another one on that top four. What it's created is an opportunity now for the Penrith Panthers to come through and pounce. And the Panthers, out of all the teams at the moment, I say they've got the most momentum going. They've got a full roster of players that are fresh and fit. Is this slowly starting to work in the way of the Panthers that we're going to see them now go five in a row?
I think so. Like, you know, there's an old saying, winners win. They find a way to win. They've got the experienced players who know how to win. And I think a lot of teams, when they get into a position to beat Penrith, they're sitting back and thinking, we'll wait for Penrith to make a mistake, or we'll wait, for an opportunity for us, where Penrith are just two, three plays ahead and they know how to do it. That Cleary two-point field goal, like, that is unbelievable. Minute 30 to go. The pass is 20 metres. He's 42 metres back. He places it half a metre before the 40-metre line. And it goes 25 metres into the crowd. Like, they've just got individuals that, again, have been through this multiple times. It's, again, systematic. But I think their belief now is starting to go through the roof, whereas early in the year, a lot of them young players defensively were struggling. And I think mentally didn't believe like they're believing now.
Well, their opposition on the weekend, the Titans, now they copped a bit of a hammering from Desi a few weeks ago, but they've certainly turned that around. And one of the players that I believe that benefits the most from an attitude turnaround at the Titans and some hard work from his forwards is Jaden Campbell. His form has been outstanding, and he's a player that's to watch over the last few weeks, and he was really impressive in this game. Up against Cleary, where he would have learned a lot, Jaden, but again, Jaden Campbell keeps rising as a player.
Yeah, like over the last couple of weeks, Dino, we've seen that he has been improving. Look, we look at Jaden, like, because he looks young, you know, he's fresh looking, the young kid. He's 25 years old, so he's starting to hit his straps as a player in the NRL, so there's a lot of responsibility on his shoulders, but what I've seen against him, against the Penrith Panthers, is that he can play against the best.
He's off-the-cuff player.
Yeah.
He's hard to build a team around, but he's certainly a player that you want in your team.
For sure. And I think, you know, being at the Titans doesn't actually, like, help because they make so many changes around the spine. They move Brinson. They you know, Kieran Foran's in and out. That fullback's been out for a majority of the year. They don't know whether they play him in the halves or again at fullback. He's just an out-and-out footballer, and some of his decisions at key times, especially after this over this last month of football, has been elite. It's been up there with some of the best players in the game, and I think we're going to see the best of him as he keeps developing. And, you know, as you said, he's 25, 26, 27, 28 is that real time frame for Jaden Campbell to really hit his straps, but he needs his forwards doing the job as well. And I think in the past, some of his outside backs and some of his forwards don't sort of facilitate what he needs at certain times.
Now, watch the little moment that he had trying to kick the goal and whether he got flustered or not. A little bit of a funny one there where the trainer comes running in front of him there. Now, do you think that put him off? Are the Panthers cheats? Because when I talk about playing into the Panthers' hands, calling them cheats and saying that they do all these dodgy things to make sure they get an advantage, that creates this us against them mentality that the Panthers thrive off. What did you make of it? Was it cheating? Did it put Jaden off? You're a goal kicker or something.
He's one from one in the NRL.
Sorry, you can't make excuses, all right? I'm one from one, all right? And I was in front of the goalpost, all right? I was 20 metres back and I kicked it, hit the left, hit the right and went in. So, you know, there's no excuse. Bo, you're 5 from 5, eh?
I'm 5 from 5, but again, the hard part with that is it's a mental game. Like, you know, you do 50, 100 kicks during the week at training, but when you've lined up and you're sort of getting yourself ready for the kick and then someone balks, it's like in the cricket where they move the side screen or, you know, someone with a different colour shirt moves, it just sort of puts it, or if a bowler runs up and then stops and goes back, it sort of just puts you in a different frame mentally. Look, he had the shot. I'm not sure, I'll be honest, I'm not sure if the Penrith trainer meant it or not, because he was just in shock when he'd been called out for it. Again, he had the shot again. Should he have been allowed to re-kick it? I reckon they should have gave him maybe another shot because of what had happened. Whether it went over or not, who knows? But again, they're these weird things that when you're going good, things are falling for you. And when you're going bad, you're just not getting that little bit of luck or the bounce of the ball or something's just, you know, the footy gods look after certain teams at certain times.
Yes. Now, on the weekend, the West Tigers versus the Bulldogs game. Now, you can't tell me that players don't buy into drama.
Yeah.
Because the Tigers players, they came ready for grand final day for this one and a great upset win. But this Lachlan Galvin saga that's played out all year, that's been up and down through the Tigers season, you can't tell me that they didn't turn up there ready to prove a point to Lachlan Galvin on the weekend, the Tigers, and they did.
Yeah, well, I don't think the Tigers went to play the Bulldogs. They went to play Lachie Galvin because it just felt like their total focus, their training regime, everything was just focused on, you know what, we can't lose this game against Lachie because after that, I think, you know, Tigers can put the cue on the rack right now. But I think the main focus, the main drive was Lachie, yeah.
Some standout performers for the Tigers. They all got up for this one. But Jareem Buller continues to show why he's one of the great players in this competition as well.
Yeah, well, he's one of my favourite players at the moment, Jareem Buller. The way he plays, like, he just glides across the field and is really good at support plays. He puts himself in really good positions. Like, he is raw as anything. He's still got a lot to go and a lot of experience when it comes to his fullback position. But if Greg Inglis is still there, I feel like he needs to, you know, learn a few more tools and get more experience, but I feel like he can be one of the, you know, big name fullbacks coming in the game, even an origin player, just the way he's built.
Very athletic and continues to learn and grow. Now, the Bulldogs had some soccer skills in there. Joshy Curran, again, showing what he's capable with the boot. But they've been exposed a little bit in this game. The Tigers came with a plan and executed it well, and maybe other teams might follow.
They certainly did. They found opportunities down the short sides. Now, you know, good defensive teams, again, usually want you to play alongside because they set up their defence by sort of, you know, line speed and making good decisions on edges. When you go down short sides, again, you're limiting numbers to 4v3 or 3v3. And I don't know who was out there in the Adam Dewey suit in the weekend, but that was one of the best performances I've seen all year. And they really went down that short side. Again, off a kick return, they got a try off a short side. Api Korosau putting a grubber kick. And I think it really exposed the Bulldogs because to every good defensive system, there's always a flaw. And I think the Bulldogs now are going to have to really smarten up their short sides, especially when you do have a Galvin on a short side. And again, he can be a key target to allow you to get your roll on, especially early in set. So something the Bulldogs are going to have to work on. They did turn over the ball a lot as well. But again, moving forward, it's something they have to really fix up.
And all the top teams, they will take notice of that loss, won't they? The Bulldogs losing against the Tigers won't be just one as they put on, it's bad attitude. They will look at how the Tigers exploited them and they'll put that into play in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's a defensive thing that, you know, Serraldo needs to get hold of. And it's, yeah, what Bo said, it's a short side problem.
Well, boys, round 5 of the NRLW, the magic round for women, played up there in miserable conditions in Newcastle, but some great results there. The Eels 12-10 win over the Dragons. That was really impressive. The Warriors were the other ones that got a good win there. And the Roosters and Broncos, they just keep doing what they do. But one thing I will say about this round, and I really enjoyed it, it was up there in miserable, terrible conditions up there in Newcastle. Lightning stopped games twice. Played in the wet, but the girls made the most of it, and particularly the Warriors, who flew over from New Zealand. You can imagine they're leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they get over, and even Coach Ronnie Griffiths there got in on a fun tee. They had a little bit of an outdoor session up there in Newcastle, but Ronnie there showing what a great man he is there to get out there and have a bit of fun with the girls and get off the jet lag and the pressures of coming all the way over for the Magic Round.
Yeah, you're right, Dino. I think Ronnie would have been thinking about that at 3 a.m, thinking about how do I motivate these girls? We're going to Newcastle. It's a big trip. We've got to take, you know, a flight over to Sydney. We've got to travel up. So it just keeps on dragging. And you know, you do get exhausted from that trip. They're big trips. And a lot of these females are not used to, you know, playing at a higher level, but also travelling long distances to try and perform. So bringing the fun in it is probably the key, and Ronnie done that.
In amongst the results there, we saw the first ever draw in NRLW, 14-all between the Titans and Bulldogs there. They smashed it out in the first game. But again, these powerhouse teams, the Roosters and Broncos, just keep going from strength to strength. And everyone's talking about, is it a foregone conclusion that these two teams will play in the grand final? But with the form they're both currently in, I can't see anything but a Roosters-Broncos grand final.
Yeah, for sure. And with the expansion of the NRLW, a lot of the stronger players, these two teams actually got stronger from last year. The one I really want to highlight again is Tamika Upton and how good she was. I think that, you know, even her in the wet conditions, even a lot of the really good players in the wet conditions, you know, they're just able to move and glide, and their skill level goes over and above some of these, you know, elite players in the NRLW. And she on the weekend was unbelievable. I think she's just starting to hit her straps being back at Brisbane too. I think she's going to have a Dally M-like year towards the back end of this season. And I think it's helped her going back home and just getting real focused back onto football, because on the weekend, she was fantastic.
I look at Ali Brigginshaw, Gail Broughton, and the skill and ability that Gail's got as a passer to just open up space for Tamika. And in the wet conditions, where everyone seemed to slow down and struggle, Tamika was playing as though she was a mud runner. She was moving twice as fast as everyone. Her passing game still strong, and her ability to just to beat defenders is one of the most impressive things in this NRLW.
Yeah, we've seen it with the Newcastle Knights as well. It's like all the plays are built around Tamika, and you know, when we look on the weekend, everything was built around her. If I'm one of the team or opposition teams, that's what I'm studying. I'm studying, where is Tamika? Is she on the short side? Is she on the long side? And then how do you like double team her? Like, you got to try and find out defensive strategies on how to work it, because if you don't, she's going to do what she just done on the weekend, score 3 tries and, you know, set up one.
I mentioned the Roosters there before, and Taron Aiken returned to their side on the weekend. They've got everything flowing. All their players seem to be really performing at their peak at the right times, and they just turn it into a real powerhouse there. Impressive on the weekend, what you saw from the Roosters?
You're 100% right, Dino. I think, you know, when you've got, you know, Sergis, Kelly, you know, all of these players hitting their straps and playing to the best of their ability, they're such a hard team to beat, and I think they're so confident as well. And their coach, Strange, even said they've got a lot more improvement in them. So they're going to be, again, they could go through this season undefeated if we look at things. I think Brisbane are probably, again, the only team that could they could sort of push them and maybe if they get a bit of a run out of a team like the Gold Coast Titans.
Well, their win on the weekend equaled the 11 wins in a row record of the Knights from 2023. So it'll be interesting to see how far the Roosters can go this season. Now, into round six of the NRLW, they come up against the Titans there, the Roosters. We've got some big games there. The Warriors versus Bulldogs is one to look out for. Eels versus Cowboys too. The Eels have been progressing nicely up that ladder and this will be a real opportunity to see them go. But it's back to that Roosters versus Titans game that we're going to have a look at. And two of our Indigenous players there, Shaylee Benn up against Olivia Koenig in the forwards. Now, Shaylee, great defensive player, up against Olivia Koenig, who's probably one of the best attacking players in the forwards in the competition. This will be a good one to watch, Steve.
Yeah, the Titans are starting to pick it up a little bit, and Shaylee Benn, like, she is a really great defender. She works hard. You know, she has a lot of intensity. I think for her, she just has to dominate, you know, in that area. I think she's got a big game, especially up against Olivia Koenig.
Yeah, it continues to rise, Shaylee. But the Titans have got some great players there on paper.
Yep.
They can worry the Roosters if they can get going, get their attack going. And Jamie Chapman obviously is a massive threat there to the Roosters this weekend.
Yeah, well, Chapo last week, 200-plus metres, and they called it, you know, a quiet game for her. So any team with her in it, you know, you've got players like Shaylee Bent. They're a team where you just they've got the talent, but you're just waiting for them to start doing it on the field and start putting a 70 or 80 minute performance together. And this is no better test against the Roosters this week. Usually a lot of teams, they rise for the occasion and individuals can find their best football, especially against a team like the Roosters.
Well, Koenig and Shaylee, I know they're close friends off the field, but I'm certainly looking forward to an aggressive battle between them on the field.
My name is George House, I'm 5'8". My mum, Wiradjuri, Central West New South Wales. Mum's from a little town called Peakill, just in between Dubbo and Parks. It used to be a gold mining town back in the day, and I just remember growing up there and going there on school holidays, and all my family's from there, and it's just like home. Dad's side of the family is from Canberra, Ngambri country. Did all my schooling there. Pretty lucky to know our lineage all the way back from when the first settlers come to Canberra. So I'm really proud of my dad and our family there. We all sort of speak Wiradjuri. Dad's fluent, like he can speak language. The most important thing about my culture is family and respect, honouring our old people and just giving thanks to them and our ancestors every day. My earliest rugby league memory is bloody 8 years old. Playing footy in Peakill, like just all my cousins, just all the boys just get a group together, just go down the park and just have a game. A few show and goes. I played all my juniors in Canberra. One club, Woden Valley Rams. They call them the Lambs, and then they go all the way up to the Rams. We put a Peakill team in the crew knockout. It was our first one from a long time. Peakill Meehan, which is family. My brother got to do the jersey and all the boys, all my cousins that play together, and it was a special moment for town and community. We drew another team from around Peakill, got up over them, and then we lost the second round. I think we played Moree, pretty tough, but copped a few armbars, swinging arms. Last year's knockout. I played for Castlereagh All Blacks. That's also another team. Got connections from Peakill, Dubbo, Gilgandra, Canamble. That side of the family, I got to meet and put some faces to some names. We won the first two, and we got knocked out in the third round against, Moree. Gagai brothers are playing. Munro was playing on the wing and McGrady was in the half. So it was a pretty gun team. Didn't really have any big names in the team, but it was good to go out there and play and put the jersey on. The people that had the most impact are definitely my mum and dad. It always just pushed me to be not just the best footy player, but just the best man I can be. And it doesn't matter how far I take playing rugby league or how far I go, but just enjoying it and enjoy training and enjoy being with my mates and just, showing up.
Great community story there, young George. What about knockout fever hitting early there, getting everyone excited? Champo, give us the update there in Kempsey. What's going on? How are you looking for knockout?
Yeah, Dungaddy will be sending a team this year, which is really, really good, especially after we, didn't send a team from Kempsey or Dungaddy to the knockout last year. So, exciting.
Favourites?
Nah.
Now, let's move on to Indigenous round in the NRL, round 23. Some big games there, starting with the Storm up against the Broncos. Now, a lot of the Indigenous community will be watching closely what the Storm do this week. So hopefully there's some good things done at that game there for the Storm fans out there and the Storm players in the past, Indigenous players that are so proud they're representing Indigenous round. But some big games. It's always a great round. We see the players there. I saw Connor Watson today. Had his boots out getting ready. Saw James Tedesco's boots all coloured by some young kids from the Hunter Valley up there, and it's a great week. The Spoon Bowl there, the Titans versus Rabbitohs. Yeah. I have to say it early, boys. Whoever loses this one, definitely going to pick up the wooden spoon this year.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's no better week than Indigenous round for South Sydney to find something, you know, flogged last week against the Brisbane Broncos, just decimated with injuries. The Titans are starting to hit some form as well. So, yeah, huge game for South Sydney. You really want to avoid that wooden spoon. It's one title and one thing you don't want to get as a player.
Yeah, I'll be out at the Eels versus Cowboys. And two players I'm looking forward to watching. Jermaine Hopgood there up against Reuben Cotter. A couple of our All-Stars forwards go and battle each other there. And these are two of the tough ones in our pack.
Yeah, these are the two ones that do a lot of work for their teams. And Reuben Cotter, like with the Cowboys, it has been an up-and-down kind of season. And I think he'll want to improve the back end of the season. But for Parramatta and Jermaine, I think it's just about, you know, learning. You know, Riles, he seems to have a really good system in at the moment. They're looking happy. And, you know, it would be another scalp for the Parramatta Eels if they do take this one off the Cowboys.
Now, a lot of people will be looking at teams that are down the bottom of the table and saying that they've got nothing to play for the rest of the season, that they're just going to have fun or they're going to experiment and trial. Jason Riles with his Parramatta team, every week is important, and they'll be really trying to get the win against the Cowboys. And Parramatta have probably been one of the most impressive teams over the last couple of weeks. Their performance keeps rising every week. Jason Riles has shown as a coach he's courageous,
yeah,
and he's got to focus on next year for his club.
Oh, they got everything to play for, and I think, you know, when you've seen them from round one this year and they got pumped by the Melbourne Storm, just how they've improved every single week, and they're just really a good team to watch, and I'm really enjoying these young players he's bringing through. He decided to move Brown on early. He's brought in Papali, who's filling Iongi's role at fullback, and yeah, the style that they play, they play with heart, they play with physicality, and yeah, I'm really excited for where they're going in the next, you know, 1, 2, 3 years, the Parramatta Eels.
Now, the Cowboys, a bit of a danger team. Coach will be under a bit of pressure up there in Toddy Payton because the Cowboys probably haven't met their expectations for this season so far.
Yeah, we've been talking about it, you know, all year, especially with the team that they got. When you look at it on paper, it's a really good team. So, yeah, it's tough times for you know, Payton.
What do you think is the winner of this one on the weekend? It's a pretty important game.
Eels.
Eels. I'm going Eels as well. I'll always be an Eels fan, but really looking forward to football. Big weekend of NRL and NRLW.